Autor Sattasisiman, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada Ki Jai. Anantakoti Vaishnavin Kajai. Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakur Kajai. Premsiko Hosi Krishna Chaitanya Prabhanitananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivas Harigur Bhaktivinoda Kajai. Shri Shri Radha Krishna Gogopinath Shyamakunda Radha Kunda Giri Govardhan Kajai. Vrindavan Dham Kajai. Navadvip Dham Kajai. Mathura Dham Kajai. Jagannath Puri Dham Kajai. Bhakti Devi Kajai. Tulasi Devi Kajai. Yamunamayi Kajai. Gangamayi Kajai. Samaveta Bhaktivinoda Kajai. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. Gaur Premanandi Hari Hari Bol. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th canto. Chapter 2, Prayers by the Demigods, texts 4 and 5. A.K. Tam Anurundhanaha Kyatayaha Paryupasate Hateshu Shatsu Baleshu Devakyaha Ograsenina. Eketam Manurandhana Gyataya Paryupasate Hateshu Shatsubaleshu Devakya Anugrasenina. Eketam Manurandhana Gyataya Paryupasate Hateshu Shatsubaleshu Devakya Ograsenina. Eketam Anurundana Gyataya Paryupasate Hateshu Shatsubaleshu Devakya Ograsenina. Thank you. Nitya Prasenya Ekitam Manurunda Jaya Prayupasate Ateshu Shaksubaleshu Nivakya Agrasenya Jataya Prayupasate Ateshu Shaksubaleshu Ladies, Eketam Manurundhana Jataya Paripasate Ateshu Shaksubaleshu Devakya Agrasenya Eketa Manurunha Ateshu Shatsubaleshu Devakya Agrasenya Eta Manurundhana Yataya Prayupasate Ateshu Shaksubaleshu Devakya Agrasenya Eke
Some of them
Tam
Unto Kamsa
Anurundhana,
exactly following his policy.
Gyatayaha,
relatives.
Varyupasate,
begin to agree with him.
Hateshu,
having been killed.
Shatsu,
six.
Balayishu.
Children.
Devakyaha,
born of Devaki,
Ugrasenina,
by the son of Ugrasena, Kamsa.
Saptamaha,
the seventh,
Vaishnavam,
of Lord Vishnu,
Dhamma,
a plenary expansion.
Yam,
unto whom?
Anantam,
by the name Ananta,
Prachakshate,
is celebrated,
Garbaha,
embryo,
Babhuva,
there was,
Devakyaha,
of Devaki,
Harshashoka
Vivardhanaha,
simultaneously arousing pleasure and lamentation.
Translation.
Some of their relatives, however, began to follow Kamsa's principles and act in his service. After Kamsa, the son of Ugrasena, killed the six sons of Devaki, a plenary portion of Krishna entered her womb as her seventh child, arousing her pleasure and her lamentation. That plenary portion is celebrated by great sages as Ananta, who belongs to Krishna's second quadruple expansion. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Some of the chief devotees, such as Akrura, stayed with Kamsa to satisfy him. This they did for various purposes. They all expected the Supreme Personality of Godhead to appear as the eighth child as soon as Devaki's other children were killed by Kamsa. and they were eagerly awaiting his appearance. By remaining in Kamsa's association, they would be able to see the Supreme Personality of Godhead take birth and display his childhood pastimes. And Akrura would later go to Vrindavan to bring Krishna and Balaram to Mathura. The word Paryupasate is significant because it indicates that some devotees wanted to stay near Kamsa in order to see all these pastimes of the Lord. The six children killed by Kamsa had formerly been sons of Marichi, but because of having been cursed by a Brahmin, they were obliged to take birth as grandsons of Hiranyakashipu. Kamsa had taken birth as Kalanemi, and now he was obliged to kill his own sons. This was a mystery. As soon as the sons of Devaki were killed, they would return to their original place. The devotees wanted to see this also. Generally speaking, no one kills his own nephews, but Kamsa was so cruel that he did so without hesitation. Ananta Sankarshan belongs to the second Chaturvyuha, or quadruple expansion. This is the opinion of experienced commentators. Eketam anurundhana gyataya paryupasate hateshu shatsu baleshu devakya ograsenina. Saptame vaishnavam dhama yamanantam prachakshate garbho pabhuva devakya harshashoka vivardhanaha. So, Devaki was Harshashoka Vivardhanaha. She was overwhelmed with happiness and lamentation together because she was happy that she had a wonderful son, Ananta. The plenary portion of the Lord had entered her womb, but she was lamenting also because he, according to the past arrangement, Kamsa had been killing all of her sons. He had already killed six sons. So this was another son, and she was not looking forward to this son being killed. And Kamsa, some of the Yadu, members of the Yadu dynasty, they stayed there. Some left, many left because he was so cruel, killing his own nephews. But some stayed, and Srila Prabhupada gives a nice explanation why they stayed. Especially Akrura, because Akrura was a great warrior. He was a commander-in-chief and great devotee of the Lord. So why would he stay and serve Kamsa? And the answer is that he was waiting for the Supreme Personality of Godhead to appear to kill Kamsa. And he wanted to help facilitate that. And he got his desire. Later on, Kamsa requested Akrura to bring Krishna and Balaram to Mathura. One interesting note that you maybe may like to hear, that Kamsa, this is stated in the Brihad Bhagavatamrita, and it's quoted from another scripture, the Puranas, that actually Kamsa was not really the son of Ugrasena. This came up in a discussion that Kamsa was having with his Mahamatra, the elephant keeper. This was later on when Krishna and Balaram were being brought to Mathura for being killed. Kamsa had tried so many things. All the demons had been killed that he sent, and now he was going to make sure personally that the job was finished. And his initial plan was that there was a great elephant named Kuvalyapida who was more powerful than thousands of other elephants. And he was trained to kill. And so the plan was that as soon as Krishna entered or started to come into the town or into the arena, then the elephant would kill him. So Kamsa was giving instructions to the elephant keeper that he had to kill Krishna and Balaram. And in the course of that discussion, he got carried away, and he was saying, and after Krishna and Balaram, after these two are killed, then I'll kill Vasudev and Nanda Maharaj. And he kept going. He said, I'll kill Ugrasena. Ugrasena was his father. And he said, Ugrasena, this weakling who wanted a son, he's not actually my father. He indicated that. And so the elephant trainer was shocked. What? How could your mother do that? Even ordinary women don't do that. What to speak of your mother? And so Kamsa said, all right, if you want to know, I'll tell you the story. So he said, one day Narad Muni came and was explaining to me. He said that you're not actually the son of Ugrasena. And Kamsa said, well, how's that? He was a little disturbed. And he said, well, the story goes like this. And it so happened that the wife of Ugrasena, Padmavati, after her menses, she went to visit a beautiful mountain and with her girlfriends, and it was springtime, and it was a rousing desires. It was very beautiful. The flowers were giving off the wonderful fragrance, and the lakes. It was just a wonderful atmosphere of sensual situation. And it just so happened at the same time there was one of the Danavas, one of the great demons, whose name was Drumila, and he happened to arrive there flying in on his chariot. And he was the king of Soba. And so he happened to be wandering around the beautiful area with his charioteer, and he happened to see beautiful Padmavati, and he said, "I've never seen such a beautiful woman." He became completely captivated by her beauty, and he went on and on describing, she must be the goddess of fortune, or Urvashi, or Tilotama. He described all the beautiful women in the universe. He said, "I can't have any peace now until I'm able to have this woman." So he wanted to know, he asked his charioteer whose woman she was, whose wife. But then he went into a meditation, and by his meditation he learned that she was the wife of Ugrasena. So he had mystic powers, and he transformed himself to look just like Ugrasena. And then she was happy. She thought it was her husband, and he impregnated her. And then she found out that she realized that it wasn't her husband, and she chastised him, "Who are you that you've done this? You've polluted me." And he explained who he was, and she was condemning him for this horrible act. And he said, "No, don't worry. For women, there's no sin for adultery. And anyway, no women are chaste except you." And she didn't appreciate that statement. She said, "No, there are many women who are chaste to their husbands." Arundhati, she mentioned by name. And she went on chastising him. And she asked who he was. And then he told her that she would have a son. And this son would be very powerful. He would be able to kill all his enemies. And because she had asked him, "Who are you?" he answered, "Kangsa, that you will have a son of the one you asked, who are you?" So something like that. It's intricate Sanskrit words. So anyway, that's how he got the name Kangsa. But she was still furious, and she said, "I curse you, and I curse the sun also. I curse. I curse that the sun. There will be another member of my husband's dynasty who will come and kill this son." So then he left. So that's how Kangsa was actually born of a demon. He wasn't born from the father's side of the Yadu dynasty. So it gives a little more explanation, or shall we say a little background, how he was such a demon, and how he hated the Yadus so much. He wanted to annihilate all the Yadus, members of the Yadu dynasty. And he knew that in his previous life he was Kalanemi, a great demon, and he was killed by Vishnu. So he wanted to kill Vishnu in this lifetime. And in this lifetime, he still had connections with his previous, the great demons, because they were living for a very long time. His life was cut short, but he still had connections with them. And Kangsa was the most powerful in the universe. There was no one else who could defeat Kamsa. Kamsa was so powerful that he easily routed Dhritarashtra and all of Dhritarashtra's soldiers and men, including Bhishma. So we know Bhishma was a very great warrior, but sometimes we wonder, how is it that these persons were present and still Kamsa was performing his atrocities? Remember Bhishma and Dhritarashtra and Drona, they were all present, but this was going on. Kamsa was killing these children. And the answer is that Kamsa was so powerful that no one could dare. Ugrasena tried to fight with him. He tried to defend, but Kamsa easily defeated him. Kamsa defeated all the great demons, such as Putana and Agha, Baka, Arishta. He personally defeated them. He went around one by one and challenged them to a fight. And his offering was, please let us fight. And if you win, I will become your servant. And if I win, you will become my servant. And they agreed. And then he defeated all of them. And that's how he got all of them to become his servant. The only one he didn't defeat directly was Jarasandha. But Jarasandha realized that he couldn't defeat Kamsa. So they made an alliance, and he gave his two daughters, Asti and Prapti, to Kamsa as his, to become his wives. So Jarasandha protected him, although he didn't need Jarasandha's protection. He was so powerful. When to give some idea how powerful these demons were, when Bakasura, this is described in the Garga Samhita, that when Bakasura was fighting with Krishna, the demigods came and tried to kill the demon. And they all tried their best, Yamaraj, Indra, Agni, even Brahma came. Generally, Brahma doesn't get involved in fighting, but on this particular occasion, he did. And Baka was able to defeat all of them. So only Krishna could kill Baka. And Kamsa could have killed him, but Kamsa didn't kill him. So Kamsa's position was unique. There was simply no one who could defeat him. He had defeated Indra, taken his parasol, his throne. He had installed the throne for himself, and so only Krishna could kill him. So the seventh son, I don't want to go ahead because that will be described in the next verses, what happens with the seventh pregnancy. But it's Ananta or Sankarshan. This Balaram is also known as Sankarshan or Ananta. He's actually the first expansion of Lord Krishna, and his further expansions are Sankarshan, and from Sankarshan, Ananta Shesha. So are there any questions on this verse, these two verses? Even it's described that even the wives of Vasudev, they left Mathura, some of them. And Rohini was one of his wives. And it's described that she left after having, at the time she left, she was 3 months pregnant. She went to Vrindavan. And she came in, arriving at night, and she went to Nanda Maharaj's house, because Nanda Maharaj and Vasudev were not only friends, but they were relatives also from the same family. And so they were, when Yashoda met Rohini, she was delighted. They embraced. It was like the Ganga and the Jamuna embracing. They were so happy to have her. She was such a great devotee of the Lord. And after another 12 months, in the 14th month, at that time, there was, well, here, but the child, the seventh child, was transferred by the order of Yogamaya. And so he, by Yogamaya's arrangement, he was transferred to Rohini's womb. So he's, this Balaram is both the son of Devaki and Rohini. And everyone, including Kamsa, thought that the seventh pregnancy was a miscarriage, but actually it was an arrangement of the Lord. And I often wondered that too. How is it that Rohini could be pregnant, but that's the explanation, that she had already become pregnant by Vasudev before going to Vrindavan. I can read the next text, if that's all right. Bhagavan api vishvatma viditva kangshajam payam yadunam nija natanam yogamayam samadishat. To protect the yadus, his personal devotees, from Kamsa's attack, the personality of Godhead Vishvatma, the supreme soul of everyone, ordered Yogamaya as follows. Purport. The words Bhagavan api Vishvatma viditva kangsajam bhayam are commented upon by Srila Sanatana Goswami. Bhagavan Swayam is Krishna, Krishna's two Bhagavan Swayam. He is Vishvatma, the original super soul of everyone, because his planetary portion expands as the super soul. This is confirmed in Bhagavad Gita 13.3, Kshetragyam Chapimam Vidhi Sarva Chetre Shubharata. Lord Krishna is the Kshetragya, or super soul, of all living entities. He is the original source of all expansions of the personality of Godhead. There are hundreds and thousands of planetary expansions of Vishnu, such as Sankarshan, Pradumna, Aniruddha, and Vasudev. But here in this material world, the Vishvatma, the super soul for all living entities, is Kshirodakashayi Vishnu. As stated in Bhagavad Gita 1861, Ishvara Sarva Bhutanam Videsha Arjuna Tishtati. The Supreme Lord is situated in the heart of all living entities, or Arjuna. Krishna is actually Vishvatma by his planetary expansion as Vishnu Tattva. Yet because of his affection for his devotees, he acts as super soul to give them directions. Sarvasya chaham buddhidi sannivishto mataksmatir gyanam apohanamcha. The affairs of the super soul pertain to Shira Dakshai Vishnu. But Krishna took compassion on Devaki, his devotee, because he understood her fear of Kamsa's persecution. A pure devotee is always fearful of material existence. No one knows what will happen next, for one may have to change his body at any moment. Tatadehantaraprapti. Knowing this fact, a pure devotee acts in such a way that he will not have his life spoiled by being obliged to accept another body and undergo the tribulations of material existence. This is bhayam, or fear. Bhayam tviti ya binivesha-taksyat. Bhagavatam 11.2.37. This fear is due to material existence. Properly speaking, everyone should always be alert and fearful of material existence. But although everyone is prone to be affected by the ignorance of material existence, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, is always alert to the protection of his devotees. Krishna is so kind and affectionate toward his devotees that he helps them by giving them the intelligence by which to exist in this material world without forgetting him even for a moment. Yeah, sometimes we think, what type of protection does Krishna give? Kaunteya pratityani name bhakta pranashati. Well, we know he doesn't protect the body completely, because ultimately the body is destroyed. So what type of protection? Here we can understand, I'll read it again, that Krishna is so kind and affectionate toward his devotees that he helps them by giving them the intelligence by which to exist in this material world without forgetting him even for a moment. The Lord says, Tesham evanukam partam aham agyanajam tamaha nashayam yatma bhavasto jnanadipena bhashvata. Out of compassion for them, I, dwelling in their hearts, destroy with the shining lamp of knowledge the darkness born of ignorance. Bhagavad Gita 10.11. The word yoga means link. Any system of yoga is an attempt to reconnect our broken relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. There are different types of yoga, of which bhakti yoga is the best. In other yoga systems, one must undergo various processes before attaining perfection, but bhakti yoga is direct. The Lord says in Bhagavad Gita 6.47, Yoginam api sarvesham madgate nantaratmana shradhavan bhajate yomam same yukta tamo mataha. Of all yogis, he who always abides in me with great faith, worshipping me in transcendental loving service, is most intimately united with me in yoga and is the highest of all. End quote. For the bhakti yogi, a human body is guaranteed in his next existence, as stated by Lord Krishna, Shuchinam Shimatam Gehe Yoga Brashto Bijayate. Yogamaya is the spiritual potency of the Lord. Out of affection for his devotees, the Lord always stays in spiritual touch with them, although otherwise his maya potency is so strong that she bewilders even exalted demigods like Brahma. Therefore, the Lord's potency is called Yogamaya. Since the Lord is Vishvatma, he immediately ordered Yogamaya to give protection to Devaki. This Yogamaya potency is the Lord's internal potency, and the same potency is expanded as Durga, the superintendent of the material world. So it's the same energy, just as the government has different functions for the same, its same government expenditure. So you could say that the money in the organization is the energy of the government. So they use some of the money and energy for educational purposes, for establishing universities, and they use some of it for prisons. So it's the same energy, but it has different function according to the need of the government. So the Lord uses the Yogamaya for maintaining the spiritual world and the devotees, and Mahamaya, the material energy, for taking care of this material world and the prisoners that are kept here. So that's the end of the purport. We'll stop there. Thank you very much. Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.